Good afternoon to all. I've been blessed with the opportunity for a short time this afternoon to speak on a particular subject that, for fear of sounding like a broken record, I'm probably going to be preaching more to myself than anybody else this afternoon, which is usually the case. But for a short time this afternoon, we'll be talking about something that is very prevalent in the world today. It's been very prevalent since the dawn of man, or since we've been created, and that is anger. Just to kind of get our minds prepared, I'll go ahead and read the verse that is the basis of this lesson, and that's going to be found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. The Bible reads, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." So for a short time, once again this afternoon, we'll be talking about this subject. We'll dive in a little bit. We'll probably just skim the surface of this subject and the difference between righteous anger and unrighteous anger. And, is it okay to be angry? And if so, if it's okay to be angry, what type of mindset we should have, if so. But before we go any further, we do have the opportunity and the privilege to go to our God in prayer. And at this time, we would ask that we would humble ourselves as the one selected and lead us at this time. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, there are two main, thoughts that we can have by reading this verse. We'll read this verse once more. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 reads, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." So in all reality, there are two separate lessons involved that we could talk about for hours on end. First, about if we are angry, how to be angry and sin not, but also not to let the sun go down on our anger, or not to dwell on it, not to let it just stay with us. But as an audience, you're already burdened with having to hear me speak. I certainly don't want to burden you any more with having to hear me speak for a lengthy period of time. So for just tonight, we'll actually just focus more on the first portion of this verse. But the thing about anger is anger can be one of the most intense, destructive, and unhealthy emotions that we can have as human beings here on this earth. Normally, I would probably talk about this portion of this lesson. I would save it to last, but we'll kind of get it out of the way at the beginning so we can move on, because it's going to involve a story that I think we can all relate to, and I think it'd just be best to go ahead and get the story over with. I'm sure some of y'all may have, if y'all follow San Angelo Live, which is the news about San Angelo, it seems like the car wrecks that we've come across is just compounding exponentially, and people are driving as unsafe as they ever have in this town, it seems like. One specific wreck that y'all may be aware of is the one that was on Arden Road not too long ago, involving a late model Dodge diesel truck and a Honda Accord. A co-worker of mine, Adrian Hernandez, was the one driving that Honda Accord. His brother, as well as his dad, Fred Hernandez, all work at Concho Collision. I've known Adrian for a few years. I regret to say that I never really got to know him as well as I should have. From what everyone said, he was an interesting character, but he was a good person. Kind of to lay down the story, the day the wreck happened, their family had just buried their grandmother. Adrian's grandmother that day. He was pulling out onto Arden Road. He looked to the left, and I assume what he saw was some traffic, say maybe 100 yards away, in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. And as you or I would assume the same thing, we would have plenty of time to be able to pull out and merge in traffic. He glances to the left, doesn't see any immediate threat. Maybe glances to the right, sees that he has plenty of time to take a left turn. That second glance to the left, however, he realized that he misjudged. Because because that Dodge truck wasn't going 35 miles an hour. They speculate that he was going anywhere from 65 to 80 miles an hour. The one-ton truck, or three-quarter ton truck, hit the Honda Accord going about 65 to 80 miles an hour. And at that point, it was hard to tell where one vehicle ended and the other one began. They say that Adrian was alive at the time that they were using the jaws of life to remove him from the vehicle. But by the time they got him to the hospital, it was too late. He had passed. I say all that to say this. As they did the investigation, as they asked the questions and figured out why this happened, the story was that the driver was actually 15 years old in the Dodge truck. He had one of those licenses that allowed him to drive to work and to school in order to function. Unfortunately, this young boy was not headed to work or to school. As a matter of fact, as the investigation further along, they realized that he was actually on the way to either someone's house or his girlfriend's house because he had found out that she was cheating on him. So he was angry. And because he was angry, he decided to hop in this truck to speed down the road so that he could confront her. That evening, he had no intentions of hurting anybody, more or less ending someone's life. But anger got the best of him. I just found out at the end of this week that 15-year-old boy is being charged with manslaughter. It's tragic what happened to Adrian. But I certainly wouldn't wish upon anybody being 15 years old, being charged with manslaughter. And besides that fact, if the young boy has any conscience at all, just the mere fact of knowing that he ended someone's life would be crippling to me. Anger, if not handled properly, can change our lives forever, much like it changed the lives of these two families and everyone involved. Anger can be caused from many different things we go through in life, such as work, family, relationships, or even someone else's wrongdoing. Without resolving the problem, anger can have someone destroy something, as we've seen. The Bible speaks about two different types of anger and gives examples. There's righteous and unrighteous anger. And there are different ways to deal with them as Christians. We should ask that God change our hearts and allow Him to mold us into a follower to carry His gospel to the world. For sake of time, we'll just mention 7 verses that we find in the Bible about anger. Some of the examples we have of righteous anger, we can find in Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, reading from the King James Version. The Bible reads, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Also in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 18, the Bible reads, therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. None was left but the tribe of Judah only. Moving along, John chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. Here the Bible reads, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. And lastly, 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, the Bible reads, and the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned away from the Lord, that God, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord commanded. So these are just a few examples of righteous anger. Now let's look at the other side of unrighteous anger. Psalms chapter 37, verse 8. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. Also in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18, the Bible reads, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. And lastly, Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. But for Cain and his offering, he, the Lord, had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Once again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, at the beginning says, to be angry and do not sin. Now, I don't think it's commanding us to be angry. If you recall in grade school, ever having to diagram sentences, predicate, subject, verb, noun, to depict everything and describe everything, we know that there are certain things that are inferred. Even though they're not there, we know that they should be. For example, if you read a sentence that says, go fill the water jug. Well, the way you would diagram that is you would have you, comma, go fill the water jug. Even though that you is not there, we know that it's inferring a command to you. It's being directed to you. So possibly in the same mindset, when it says be angry and do not sin, maybe a better way of, I dare not say translation, but maybe a better way to possibly understand it is to say, be ye angry and sin not, or that is, if you are angry, take heed ye sin not. And this is the part that I want to drive home this afternoon. As in a previous lesson I gave about Cain and Abel, about serving the Lord or doing things we know we should do, one of the key factors in anything we do is not just whether we do right or do wrong. It has to do with the mindset in which we do it. Anger at sin is not evil. But we should feel only pity to the sinner. If we are angry at the person as well as the fault, we sin. Much like when Brother Dwayne said that even if we tell the truth, if we put a lie with it, it's a lie. One trumps the other. If we are angry at the sin, there's no wrong. But if we are angry at the sin, but also angry at the sinner, no good is found in it. It also says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, or to reprove your brother, and be reconciled immediately. As I said before, anger is one of the most powerful emotions we have in the world today. And unfortunately, in society, anger is one of the emotions that they almost covet. Out of all the other emotions that we feel, sadness, happiness, a lot of times we like to think that it's outside things that give us those emotions. We rely on people, or we rely on things to make us happy. Or other people, we blame other people for making us sad. Many people blame other people for making us angry. However, anger is one of the emotions that we feel, or the world seems to feel, that is empowering. How many people in the world today do you know that enjoy being angry where they feel that they're empowered. How many times have somebody done wrong to you and you just tell them off? You let them know that they did wrong. You maybe even criticize them for it, make them maybe knock them down a peg or two, as some people would say. And maybe even somebody pats you on the back and says, you know what, that guy's been needing that for a long time. And it feels empowering. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. It says, let not the sun go down. Basically saying, don't cherish anger. Do not sleep upon it. Do not harbor a purpose of revenge. Do not cherish ill will against another person. When the sun sets on one man's anger, he may be sure it is wrong. The meaning of the whole of this verse then is, if you be angry, which may be the case, and which may be unavoidable, see that the sudden excitement does not become sin. Do not let it overleap its proper bounds. Control your anger. Do not let your anger control you. Though the sun be getting low in the west, let not the passion linger in your chest. But let the last rays of the sun find you always peaceful and calm. One thing my mom always taught me when growing up, she always says that I never listened to her, but I did, whether I let her know it or not. She always told me, be angry at the sin, not the sinner. We should be concerned for an individual. We should fear for the individual if they make us angry. Whether it be because something they do, whether it be because something they didn't do. Whether it be something that maybe we might have done to ourselves and want to blame somebody. Our anger shouldn't be directed to them because we were wronged or affected, but directed what they may have done or are doing because it is wrong and it may have put themselves in a dangerous position or a bad position concerning the Lord for going against God's word. One of the most well-known stories we often link to this, or a lot of people in the world think of, one of the stories that very few maybe in the world that actually know that's in the Bible, is the story of Jesus overturning the tables, as we read previously. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 17, is where this story takes place. And we may ask ourselves, what is so offensive and tragic about what was happening in the temple? Well, the temple was to be a place of worship and prayer where God is acknowledged and honored. It should have been a place where people would come to meet God, a place where they confess their sins in prayer and receive cleansing for their sins. Yet when Jesus saw it, the temple was turned into a market, a place for personal gain. What is so offensive and tragic is that the temple became just like any place in the world where transactions are made for personal profit, even at the expense of robbing someone. In this passage, God is robbed of his rightful position to be worshipped. And the people are robbed of the priceless opportunity to come and worship God and get right before God. The temple lost its purpose for existence. And if the temple loses its purpose, its calling, there's nothing else in this world that can replace it. Thus, the very provision that God made for sinners to be able to come to Him and to be right with God is violated. So, Jesus was angry. Angry at the money changers' sin for turning the temple into a marketplace which was against God's law and put them in a bad position with God. He was also angry for the fact that there was now no proper place for anyone to come worship God. The temple being turned into a market hindered from believers being able to worship properly, which in turn possibly could have put them in a bad position with God as well. He was angry out of concern and worry for these transgressors. not because of what they did to him, not because of maybe the disrespect he received, not because they were in there in the temple instead of out there on the streets when he was making his way in to town, but by the mere fact that they were actually doing these things out of service. They were actually doing, causing the believers to possibly sin as well, who were trying to worship, and he was angry because of them not being able to do so. So when we say to be in the right mindset when we are angry, I guess really the only way to put it in our daily lives to where maybe it's easier to understand is comparing it to the characteristics of a parent. Now, of course, I don't have any firsthand experience with this, but it doesn't take a lot of time to realize the traits are very similar in regards to righteous anger. Is maybe to put in everyday real life circumstance. Trait associated with the way Jesus felt at the time in the temple is maybe a trait that is most experienced, as I said, with being a parent. And this trait would be the idea of caring for someone more than caring for ourselves. Like a parent to a child. I'm going to go ahead and I'll tell one last story. Now, the thing about this story is that it's going to start out with truth, but the rest of it is completely made up for the sake of this lesson. If you'll remember quite a years back, I should say, for those who have known our family since we moved here, back when I was just a young child, about 8 years old, my dad at the time was rebuilding a 69 Dodge Dart. I'm sure if you all remember that vehicle. One of the things that he told us as we built this car and things like that, we were around the car very much. We were very familiar with the vehicle. Even though we were very young, we were around it, so we didn't fear it or anything like that. But one thing that he always told us was that we were not to go near the vehicle. We were not to play with the vehicle without supervision. That was the rule. And so this is where the story stops being true. That was all 100% true. That's, without a doubt, that's the way it was. Now I'm going to tell a story, and then I'm going to backtrack, start again, and tell a different story. I want you to imagine it's a Saturday morning. Maybe Dad had to go to work or something to that effect. He did that sometimes. He was a very hard worker when we were growing up. He wanted to provide for us. But let's say Saturday morning. I get up. Instead of watching cartoons like I normally would, let's say I go to the garage because I kind of want to play in the Dodge Dart. Let's say that I get in the car. Of course, the keys aren't in the vehicle. But of course, they didn't have the shift lockouts like they do in these neat new cars with the safety features. So let's say the garage door is open, and let's say that I decide to go ahead and act like I'm shifting, like I'm racing NASCAR or something like that. I pop the vehicle in neutral, and that Dodge Dart presumes and starts rolling back in the driveway right into the middle of the street. Just in time for Dad to be pulling up for lunch, and he sees me out in the middle of the street with that Dodge Dart and the truck and the cars rolling back. Now he slams his car brakes so that he doesn't hit the car. He hops out of that car. He opens the door to that Dodge Dart. He grabs me. He takes me out of the car. And he says, "Are you nuts?" He says, "I've been working for years on this car. You and I both have been working on this car. And I've told you 100 times not to play with this car without supervision. Do you realize how much money and time I put into this thing? It could have all been lost. This car could have been wrecked. Not only that, I could have been responsible for having to pay for somebody else's stuff." Now I'm going to rewind. I'm going to go back. I'm in the Dodge Dart. I throw it in neutral. The car rolls back. It's in the middle of the street. Dad slams on his brake to avoid from hitting the car. He gets out. He opens that door with every effort he possibly has. He grabs me, and he looks at me. He looks at my shoulders, looks at my head, looks at my eyes, looks at my feet. He doesn't even look at the car. He says, "Are you nuts? I told you 100 times not to play with that car without supervision. You could have been hurt." Two very similar stories. But it's about the mindset. Both times he was angry. But what was he angry about? Well, the first time he's angry because of his material object that he's put some effort into, put a lot of time into. There's nothing wrong with working hard for something and appreciating it and standing out and appreciating your work. Second story, he's angry. But he wasn't angry at the same reason, for the same reason. He was angry because of his concern for his son. He was angry because he knew I knew better. He had taught me better. But I didn't do better. And he was concerned. And he was worried. As I said before, anger is a very powerful emotion. It's one that often takes us for a ride that oftentimes we don't want to be on. It's very important for us to focus on controlling our anger and not letting it control us. It can completely change our lives, as we mentioned before at the beginning of this lesson with that young 15-year-old. We still don't know what his future is going to be like at this time, but we'll see, I'm sure. I hope something that has been said this afternoon has been beneficial to us. I hope something that has been said we can use to better our lives in God's service. At this time, I always want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call or to any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church. Whatever the case may be, we would ask that you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.